WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy Festivus. Happy New Year's. Everybody out there celebrating. I mean, the waiting is the hardest part here. We have rust versus rest. Lots of football games here this weekend. Some old friends like Joe Flacco. But, you know, I talked a lot at length all season long in the last couple of years about what the pathway would be for a Lamar Jackson title, a parade, all the accolades and believe that and all that. I thought for sure it would involve Joe Burrow at some point. I really thought it would involve Trevor Lawrence. And lo and behold, I'm checking around into places this week where they've got their feelings hurt. Cincinnati, Ohio is one of those places. I wish you could find Collinsworth, but I got Solomon Wilcots here. I'll get around all of Cincinnati before it's over with. I will not be at the Super Bowl this year. We're doing a thing called Crab Cake Row. It's going to begin on February 5th. Solomon Wilcots is one of the many, many people that I've met and befriended through 30 years of doing Radio Row at the Super Bowl. I hope you're in Vegas. I hope Lamar's in Vegas, but I'll be here doing what I'm doing. But I tell you what, I thought Joe Burrow was going to be a problem for years and years and years. And man, an injury just changes everything. And we learned that here the last couple of years.
Absolutely. And that's the precarious nature of what it means to be an NFL player, right? It's not about if you get hurt, it's about when you get hurt. Everyone, it's 100% risk injury ratio. It is going to happen if you play long enough. And I don't think we appreciate enough of NFL players, what they go through every offseason, the surgeries they go through, the rehabilitation process, the state of loneliness, being separated from your team. Every single player, if you're going to play any length of time, you're going to go through that. You're going to know what that feels like. And it turns out it's Joe Burrow's turn, but he'll be okay.
Well, and he's gone through it before. Lamar's had it. And this time of the year, when your best players are standing and you're playing the kind of football the Ravens are playing, you get the honor of having a week off and figuring out what to do with it. And then you get to be the favorite and you get to play like that, where everybody's talking about you as expected to win. Solly, I've been doing this since, you know, beginning of time. Now, 32 years, we've had a team here 27 years now, that there's never been anything like expected to win. They've won a couple times, and they've been pretty good a couple of times. But when there's Brady and Manning in the way, or, you know, Roethlisberger, when any of those things happen, and that's the thing that's always been hardest for me with Lamar. This summer, the Orioles were unbelievable, right? And I had this conversation about who was going to win, bring the parade first, the Orioles or the Ravens, and they're both very credible and good teams and all that. And I thought Ravens is harder because of Burrow, because of Buffalo, because of Kansas City, because of them. And the way this tournament is set up, because of circumstances, this looks like the golden opportunity. You never know what next year brings or the year after that. And Tom Brady's made it look different. And I think Mahomes made it look a little different too, but Mahomes has never played a game on the road in the playoffs. It's unbelievable. This next couple of weeks really sets up to paint an interesting picture for the league, I think.
Oh, yeah, it certainly is a great opportunity for the Baltimore Ravens. You have home field advantage. All you have to do is win two games at home at M&T Bank Stadium. And now you're headed to Las Vegas, which you still have to close out the deal. And I always caution that you can only win the Super Bowl once you get there, and then you've got to play. Because there's a lot of distractions even once you arrive, and, you know, players and family members and things. But look, you can lose it between now and then. You can only win it by getting to that game, getting on the field with everybody intact and their minds ready to compete. That's the only time you can win it. But between now and then, it could slip through your fingers very easily. We've seen players creep off into the night and go out and have a good time, and now that serves as a distraction. We've seen an injury that might occur that would keep maybe one of the key players off the field that renders you less than 100%. There's a lot of things. And I've found that you cannot really try to leverage the hope and all the prayers and all the good positive things you have. I've been on a team that was a number one seed that had home field advantage going into the Super Bowl. We end up winning our two home games and getting there, and 40 seconds left on the clock, and Joe Montana is riding off with our trophy. That's it. And so it's a haul, and you've got to really take care of every single minute detail to ensure victory.
Lamar, what do you say about Lamar now? And what would you have said about him a year or two ago? Clearly this time last year, it was contract, injury, all, you know, didn't even fly to Cincinnati to stand with his teammates. And I all of it, none of it matters, right? I mean, you know, at this point, he's an MVP again. They're healthy. They have a week off. They're expected to win. They've gone out and done all of these impressive things like beating up the 49ers, beating up the Dolphins, destroying the Lions, and hurting the feelings of the Seahawks. I mean, they've been as impressive. Solly, Luke texted out with 4 minutes left to go in the game. It's the first time all year in 17 games they had been behind by more than one score. They had a lead at the two-minute warning in all their first 16 games. I mean, the DVOA, I got Aaron Schatz coming on talking about the GOAT, the greatest collective team week by week over a season in history. So they have all of this going on, but Lamar, the player, and Lamar, the pocket passer, and Lamar, the growing older, Lamar, the disappointed guy from 2019, all of that sort of bakes into this. He's the biggest star in the sport right now. He's elevated himself to be that guy.
Yeah. See, he's always been very impressive to me from the time he arrived in 2018 and all those teams passed on him and wanting him to play another position. 2018, all he did was resurrected a team that was playing with a quarterback that appeared to be on his last leg. In Joe Flacco, we've seen that resurrection take place. But at that point in time, it looked like they, you know, wow, they needed something to reinvigorate the organization. That's what Lamar did. I remember Coach Harbaugh was in a contract year, and it looked like the team was ready to move on. It looked like they thought that both he and Flacco were a pair and that they were at the end of the road and that we needed to infuse the organization with something new. We needed change. And you know what that change was? John Harbaugh leaning into the different style of play that Lamar brought. He was ahead of the curve, but his brother was ahead of the curve first. And Jim Harbaugh, because John saw what he did in San Francisco. He saw what Colin Kaepernick brought. And they thought they could get the same kind of playing style by going getting his offensive coordinator, a guy by the name of Greg Roman, and a similar type of player, albeit more dynamic, right? And Lamar Jackson. And it would take time for it to nurture. But immediately, Lamar took that team to the playoffs. Immediately, they gave John Harbaugh a new contract, right? and everything changed. And then 2019, he comes out when they didn't think that he could pass well enough. He leads the league in touchdown passes, win the MVP award. And now what needed to happen as the team was going to grow and evolve around him. The offense needed to grow. He needed to grow. No player comes in year one, two. Okay, I'm going to hand you a Super Bowl. He needed to grow, and he did grow. But the injury started to come, and that's the precarious nature of the game. And I think even the coaches knew they needed to add more to the offense, that he needed to get better with his pocket passing. They needed to equip him with better assets at wide receiver, who can make plays outside the number and down the field in the passing game. But he could always throw it. He began to grow. Todd Monken came in and I think helped him to settle in and say, hey, let's run to throw and let's not run to run. Let's run and buy time. These guys aren't going to catch you in the pocket. And that's what you saw him toying with the defenders when he played the Miami Dolphins, when he played the San Francisco 49ers.
He's playing the game like Roethlisberger a little bit. They're just moving around.
No, he's playing the game like Lamar. And that's been the biggest problem, Ness. People have judged him with the way they've seen others play. And that's why it's taken people a while for them. Because I can tell you right now, we watched him play, and I only live an hour's drive from Louisville. We watched him play in college. We knew this guy was going to change the game at the NFL level. And everyone wants him to be the next Tom Brady or be the next Aaron Rodgers or the next Ben Roethlisberger. I can tell you this. Maybe he can't do some of the things they do, but he can do a whole lot of things they can't do. And that's how we need to really view it. He is different. Let's forget about if he's better or worse. He's just different. And defenses aren't ready for him. And he is giving defensive coordinator sleepless nights. They would love to play a pocket passer who throws in rhythm, throws from the same location every time, because now we can defense that up. This guy is different. And that's why he has won. Since he's become the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, they've won 75% of their games. No other quarterback in our league has done that in the first 6 years that they've been a part of a team. 10 games a year. Write it down with Lamar Jackson as your starting quarterback. But everyone wants to talk about what he can't do, what's wrong. I've never leaned into that. I've always leaned into looking over the hill and seeing what is to come. And he's always been a great competitor, which is what I really hinged everything that I believe in. He wins games and always won because if he has the ball last, he's going to beat you. He's going to get it into the end zone. He's going to set you up for a game-winning field goal. That's what he does. He engineers scoring drives at a higher percentage of the possessions than most of the quarterbacks in our league.
Solomon Wilcox is here. He gives his wisdom out on Sirius Radio. You can find him there, as well as in Cincinnati, Ohio, where they're not in the playoffs this year, and that's its own disappointment, right? Cleveland in, Pittsburgh in, greatest division in the history of divisions. And I mean,
you got to go back to the 1930s since you had four teams in the same division finish above 500.
I even know who your backup quarterback's girlfriend is at this point. Like, and you know, the Jake Browning
can win games.
Comes in. I mean,
that's how he can win games.
Right. You know, so what happens in Cincinnati through all this? I mean, what kind of offseason is it there?
Hey, look, they had a winning record and they lost one of the best quarterbacks in the league for more than half the season. Look, it is what it is. No one's around here crying in their beer. There's not an overreaction here in Cincinnati. When Joe Burrow said we're going to be doing this every year, he's right. He meant as long as he's playing. He said, as long as I'm playing, we're going to be. And he delivers. And we have a great sense of confidence in that. Cincinnati Bengals fans have gotten better. I think they've matured in a way where they realize who and what Joe Burrow is. And there's no sense of panic. There's no sense of, hey, let's fire this guy. Let's go get this guy. Look, so you got to ride it out. Listen, I think John Harbaugh has been one of the best coaches in our league for a long time. He's only won one Super Bowl, right? And listen, that's not a complaint. I'm just saying you got to just be in the race. You got to win 10 to 12 games every year just to be in the tournament. When you get in the tournament, you give your best. You're not going to win it every year. That's the real – look, the Chiefs are finding that out, and they have arguably the greatest quarterback ever. The Bills are finding that out, and they have a great quarterback. There are a lot of teams with great quarterbacks. Doesn't mean you're going to win it every year. Be a mature fan. Be a mature person to say, you know what? This guy's going to give us a lot of good Sundays. Let's see where it takes us, and let's enjoy the ride. I would advocate that's how the Ravens fans should look at it. Because I know that's how the Cincinnati Bengals fans are looking at.
Joe Flacco, how about this, huh? He can win, right? I mean, they can win a game or two or three here, right? I mean, they're especially on the defensive side, they're dangerous, the Browns. I mean, we don't talk a lot about them, and they got those uniforms that never win. But this, I expect them to win this weekend.
Well, hey, look, they're playing well because they have a great defense. They have a great offensive line, a running game that is productive, even though they're playing without their starting quarterback. They're playing with their fourth quarterback this season. They use their fifth when they play the final week of the season against the Bengals. So try to get through the season, see what your team looks like when you're playing five different quarterbacks. That's impressive to win 11 games, having gone through that many players at that very important position. But Jim Schwartz has built a great defense. I think Andrew Berry has put together a great roster. That's why they can withstand all the moving parts at the quarterback position. They did get a little lucky because Flacco had this rest. He's feeling fresh at a time of year when most quarterbacks, I don't care how old you are, if you're young, you're feeling a bit worn down, but not him. And now to have a bye week essentially not playing week 18 before they go down to Houston. Remember when they were in Houston, week 17, he lit them up. Amari Cooper set a franchise record, 265 yards passing. But Joe Flacco did throw two interceptions. He had three touchdown passes, two interceptions in that game, made that game maybe a little bit closer than what it should have been. He had three interceptions the week before against the Chicago Bears, a game they end up winning. Bears almost won it on a Hail Mary. Look, he's playing well, but be cautious. A high number of interceptions and a lot of big-time throws for over 300 yards passing in, I think, each of his last three or four games. So you got to take the good with the bad. Joe's not perfect, but he is playing very well, and he's given the Browns a chance to win a lot of games.
Solomon Wilcox is here. Last thing for you on the Ravens, and you mentioned Andrew Berry. I haven't given love to Eric DaCosta in regard to the roster building and sort of stealing these ideas from Belichick from 20 years ago, where you bring in pass rushers late, you pay them a little bit, you don't have them out there 60 snaps a game. What Clowney's done and Van Noy to compliment was already good. But the Roquan Smith thing is filthy. Like bringing him in the middle, no, a lot of organizations wouldn't have had cap space, wherewithal, thought, creativity to say we're going to go take somebody else's lottery pick on a woebegone franchise who's going to transform our defense. And then the drafting of Kyle Hamilton all the way through what the Ravens have done with personnel here and to keep it healthy. If they win a championship, it's really a tribute to their decision-making above and beyond just Lamar.
These are, but when we talk about culture, people should understand that's what Ozzie Newsome has helped to build here. And I think it was there before Coach Harbaugh. And Coach Harbaugh, like a very smart football coach, he's brought his own flair, he's brought his own vision, and he's built upon that foundation that had pre-existed. Every defensive coordinator who's come there, they built on it. They understand that, okay, this is the kind of style of play that we have, and this is how we attack people in terms of how we build our defense. And they knew they weren't going to give up on Patrick Queen. They knew that Patrick Queen, all we need to do is bump him out to a wheel backer, have him do something. We need to go get a true Mike backer. And the smart organizations, they understand that there's going to be teams out there that are struggling, but yet they've got good talent. And they're wasting that talent because they're not ready yet. And every now and then, there's this apex, there's this crossroads, right, where you have a team going in one direction and they have a player. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Lou Alcindor playing for the old Milwaukee Bucks, and the Lakers saying, hey, you don't need them, but we do, right? That's kind of how the Lakers have always went out and got stars, because they've seen teams sort of wasting some of that talent, and they go out and get it, and they continue with the tradition and the culture that they've built. They know how to take advantage of that talent. And that's how the Ravens are. And that's, I think it was a perfect blend where Roquan Smith, he was being wasted with the Bears. And in our PFF database, we had him graded as one of the highest linebackers, one of the baddest dudes walking as a three down linebacker. Can play the run, can play the pass equally at a very high level. Give kudos to the Baltimore Ravens for recognizing that and knowing where to go shop and when to go get him, because it was the perfect pairing that I think can make their defense a great one for a very long time.
And paying him more than a lot of other teams would have paid him, quite frankly, too. But given the value of what a Mike linebacker.
You weren't going to have him on your team unless you paid him that. That trade didn't happen unless they had an agreement for the contract. And listen, the Bears would have paid him. They just knew that paying him based on where the team's growth rate is right now, it would have been a waste of money. There are some other teams that have paid Roquan Smith. It was a what we call a competitive market price. That's why the Ravens aren't doing people's favors. They're not just throwing money out because they like a guy. You know what I'm saying? They knew that was the requirement, but they also knew he was worth it. To your point, they recognized the value there.
Solomon Wilcox is here. Everybody's taking Ravens and 49ers. You have anything off the chalk? I mean, is there a team out there that you know, some people say Buffalo, whatever, easier path, you're going to play some home games here. But is there any team you like to upset San Francisco or Baltimore?
Not to lie, I don't like them to upset Baltimore or first of all, Cleveland is one of the few teams on the board that can say we beat the 49ers and the Ravens. And that would be true, right? And they did have their quarterback. It's not like what the Steelers did in the final week. You know, the Browns, they match up well with the Ravens. Again, when you're playing in the AFC North and you're playing one of those teams for the third time, you already know it ain't going to be no cakewalk. If there's anyone that can spoil, that can go into M&T Bank Stadium and spoil a Ravens trip to the Super Bowl, Cleveland Browns. They know you well. They match up well. Their defense is highly regarded in the front end and the back end. They can make it a long day for Lamar. And Joe Flacco's bringing a cup of vengeance with him. You and I both know that'll keep some people up at night in Baltimore. If that game happened, no one's sleeping well. You feel good about your chances of winning, but you don't feel overly confident that you're going to be able to beat them in this third matchup.
I see Schwartz with the number two pencil behind his ear right now, drawing things up right now, trying to figure out how to come home and wreck everybody. And he's Arbutus, man. He's Southwest Baltimore. I'm East.
That's right.
Southeast
Baltimore. Right.
You know, it's East-West thing, but we all stick together and we're all in it. And I am a little concerned about Schwartz and about Joe Flacco and whatever they have under the hood. Sally, always a pleasure to have you on. I'm sorry I'll miss you at the Super Bowl this year, but thanks for spending a visit. I've told everybody this week I'm having my favorite people on this week because I'm not going to the Super Bowl next month. We're doing this charity endeavor. But it is a great time to be talking about Ravens football right now with folks like you. And this level of expectation we have here that we ain't never been the best team. This is this is a weird place. Russ versus rest. We'll see how it works out next week. Really appreciate your time.
And you might have found a Pro Bowl wide receiver for the first time in franchise history. So there are a lot of good things taking place for the Baltimore Ravens. Ness, thanks for having me. Wish you all the best.
Ain't a damn good thing happening here if we're not playing in Vegas in 3 weeks, believe me.
That's
right. Solomon Wilcots is out in Cincinnati. You can find him out on SiriusXM as well as anywhere good NFL thoughts. And Solomon's wisdom is served. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Taos in Baltimore. I'm putting an all-star team together. My favorite people here this week, so you're going to love the station. Stay with us. You're going to love it more out at BaltimorePositive.com as well.